3 o'clock, Growl. What is going on? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. Without you, we would not be able to do this dumb show every single day. John says I'm a poser when I say that, but
yeah,
I'm saying
it poser.
Genuinely. All right, so we'll get to the Michael Thompson thing. And by the way, we'll really get to it tomorrow. People's Court tomorrow. He needs an attorney. You know who should represent him? The other cheater in the house, Alan Sliwa.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea.
That's a real show.
I said that sleazy Sliwa was rubbing off on Michael. He cheated in the birthday game. He cheated in Game of Games, and he's rubbing off on Michael.
He cheated in the hot dog eating contest.
Yep. That's just what he does.
All that stuff. All right. So, John, the Lakers blown out by the Jazz last night in Salt Lake City, 114-89. They were down as many as 29. They've lost four in a row, five out of six. Of course, they're playing without Anthony Davis, and they're playing without Dennis Schroeder, who will hopefully be available against Portland on Friday. The Jazz are on a tear. They've won 22 of their last 24 games. But the thing I saw last night that bothered me, John, was defense is a choice. You can either play with defensive intensity or you don't. And I think last night what we saw was a tired team. I think what we saw was a team that was not playing with defensive intensity. They were not running the Jazz off the three-point line. And by the way, on top of that, the Lakers have been a disaster shooting the ball from three. Your response?
My response is that Utah's doing that to everybody. You're making this about the Lakers. The game before that, Utah made 28 threes. Last night against the Lakers, they made 22 threes. The Lakers actually held them to fewer threes than in their previous game. Utah has won 23 of 25 games. They're the best team in the NBA right now. Now, when the playoffs start, I fully expect the Lakers to be the team to beat. Right now, Utah is the team to beat. And if you think you can lose your two best players other than LeBron, so they lost their second and third leading scorers in Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder, and compete against a Utah team that 20 times this year, 20 out of 32 games, they've taken a 20-point lead against their opponent. They're that good. Then you're crazy. And to make it about the Lakers and accuse them of playing with a, as you put it, lack of defensive intensity, Utah's making everybody look bad. They're making everybody look like they're not playing defense because they move the ball quickly, they bury threes from all over the court, and they run up the score. It's not about the Lakers, it's about Utah. And last night, the Lakers were without two people they needed to compete with a team as good as Utah. That's my response.
Okay, so you're making it just about Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder being gone. And I understand that. What I'm talking about is last night. What I'm talking about is the last four games. They're a different team with Schroeder. Hopefully comes back on Friday. Anthony Davis, all the difference in the world. You get back to championship caliber, and he's going to be the reason why the Lakers are going to contend for a championship again. He comes back hopefully after the All-Star break. But in the meantime, Lakers are shooting absolutely terribly. I mean, before the four-game losing streak, they were shooting 36% from three. In the last four games, they're shooting 29% from beyond the arc. And Dan Wiecke had numbers earlier when we had him on the show that were just ridiculous at the ability to knock down an open three. And that you can't deny that they're not shooting well.
No, they're not. As a matter of fact, the past couple of weeks, their shooting has been as bad as any team in the league. But I'll maintain that all those things are related. When you throw the ball into Anthony Davis, he draws the defense to him. When he kicks it back out, you're wide open for threes. Now you're not wide open because there's no reason for anybody to double Marc Gasol. They're not doubling Markieff Morris. You can't just put Talen Horton-Tucker
in the game.
So you're saying
the reason they're shooting badly is because there's no Anthony Davis?
I think that when Anthony Davis is on the court, it makes everybody else better. You can't double team, or you just don't double team the guys who were starting. Like, not, you know, Kuz isn't getting double teamed. Marc Gasol's not getting double teamed. Markieff Morris isn't getting double teamed. KCP's not getting double teamed. Anthony
sure.
Davis is every single time.
Right.
And that means somebody else is going to be open. I think it has something to do with it. I'm not going to totally say that the Lakers aren't guilty of poor shooting because they are. But their shots would be better. They'd be more open if Anthony Davis was back in the lineup.
And you're telling me that looking at that game, you didn't see a tired team, a team that's not playing with defensive intensity. And by the way, it goes beyond just last night. It's the last few games. And I understand, look, they may not win it. You know, they may lose into the All-Star break. They may go 0-4 here.
Right.
It's totally possible. The Sacramento game looks like the winnable game, but it's second night of a back-to-back. They've got Phoenix on the card. They got Portland on the card tomorrow night. I mean, Golden State, who's already beaten them. I mean, they could lose into the break. But the idea, to me, you look at a team and you see fight. And last night, I did not see fight. And I'm not the only one. 877-710-ESPN. On Twitter, a lot of people are in. Some people think I'm a ridiculous fool, which is
yeah,
common.
Like me, I think that.
I get that all the time. That's sort of my job on the show. But a lot of people agree with me. 877-710-ESPN. We can work in some of your calls. Is Bill Plachke coming on? Or did that sail, Lynn?
He's supposed to be.
Okay. He's calling us?
Nope,
no answer?
Call him.
Okay. All right. Bill Plachke is going to come on the show as soon as we call him. We'll get his take on this. I just think what I want to see is fight. What I want to see is defensive intensity. And what I'm looking at is a tired team that isn't playing hard on defense. And I think last night was a good example of it.
I think you're as good as the talent on your roster. And I'll point again to Golden State. Last year, Golden State suffered key injuries to guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And when they did, the team completely fell apart.
Right.
Now, this Laker team is still, I think they have the fourth best record in the NBA.
Yeah, fifth best net efficiency in the league.
Yeah, so it's when they get Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder back, there's every reason to believe that they're going to revert back to that. Now, if we don't, for some reason, get Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder back, I think that you're onto something. But in the meantime, you're just ganging up and accusing people of not playing hard when they're just not as good as the people they're playing against. When
we get
AD and Schroeder back, they will be.
I'll tell you who always plays hard. The finest columnist in Los Angeles, the great Bill Plachke from the Los Angeles Times. Bill, what's going on, man?
You're being nice because you agree with me on my column today, Mason. All right?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do, Bill. What are you looking at when you look at this team?
Well, I had to choose between you or Ireland because I know you're on the opposite side of this. It just struck me last night watching the games that I didn't care. I didn't care that they got blown out. It didn't matter. You know, Davis and Schroeder weren't in the game. They weren't the Lakers last night. So if they're not the Lakers, what's LeBron doing out there busting his butt? In the first quarter, I think it was the first quarter, he slipped and fell on an alley-oop. I thought, oh, my God, here we go. I just think, and I realize that this is who he is, and everybody has to trust him, and he's obviously the best player ever, in my opinion, and he's gained enough credibility to play what he wants, you know, to play every game, every minute he wants to. But I just remember 2013, and I think Laker fans do too. And, John, you do too. And we were all saying, Kobe's killing himself. And it turns out, you know, he popped his Achilles. I just don't want to see that again. I don't care about these games. I don't think the average fan, it was so funny hearing some people today going crazy about this Jazz game. Nobody, it wasn't a real Laker team.
That was Mason going crazy about the Jazz game.
That was me, by the way. I just think, I understand, look, they're playing the best team in the league. They don't have their second and third leading scorers. I understand all that, Anthony. But what I didn't see, I saw a tired team. I saw a team that wasn't playing with defensive intensity. And I understand it was a blowout and they're facing a stronger, at least as of right now, a stronger opponent. But I've seen this now for a couple of games. They're not bringing that defensive intensity that you would expect
a Frank Vogel team to bring. They're not as good as ever. John said it best, I think it was on the other show yesterday. When you talk about depth, there is no depth for Anthony Davis. There's no depth from behind him. They're not as good as him. They're just not that good. Without him,
and they are
tired, and I think LeBron is 3-point shooting. I think that was the stat that I liked the most in my story today that you guys have had it. I'm sure his last 11 games, his worst 3-point shooting span in any 11 game span in 3 years. He's leading the league in minutes in February. The last time he led the league in minutes for a month of the season was 2006 when he was 21 years old. It's too much.
But, Bill, let me come back at you a little bit about this. Don't great players, and you and I have seen a bunch of them, going back to Magic and Kareem and Worthy, all the way up to Shaq and Kobe, and then Kobe and Powell, and now LeBron and AD. Don't great players play? I mean, great players. Wilt Chamberlain, when he was 36, averaged 45 minutes a game. LeBron's 10 minutes less than that. I mean, great players. Jordan always played. LeBron's all
do great players play. Do great players play at 36 with a 71-day layoff, the shortest in NBA history, trying to carry a team on his back? That's my point. I don't think he needs to prove it, and I'm concerned that he's trying to win the MVP when I think he should be the MVP anyway. He should have won it last year. He'll win it this year because it's a narrative award, like you said, like everybody said it is. He'll win it again anyway, and I don't really care if he wins the MVP.
Yeah, you know what? I was watching the game last night, Bill, I kept thinking, get him off the floor. I mean, there's we're
get him
not
off
in this
the floor.
Game.
He was
get
even
him
in
off
third
the floor.
Quarter.
But wait.
No, I mean, what's wrong with him taking John? What's wrong with him taking a day off? There's no fans in the stands anyway. The fans that do care about the Lakers, Laker fans care about June and this year, July. That's what they care about. You know
right,
that better than anybody.
But, Bill, Kareem didn't take days off. Magic didn't take days off. I mean, Shaq took a lot of days off because he was hurt, but LeBron doesn't get hurt.
Shaq only played twice in his timer. Did he play more than 70 games? But he was ready. But you know what? He damn sure played in April and May and June.
Right. And but LeBron's always done that.
I just think
36 I know, but at some point,
old,
so did Kobe.
36-year-old. Right. 36-year-old, 18th season. 71-day layoff between winning the NBA title and the start of the season and playing the third most minutes in the league. Only Julius Randle and Fred VanVleet have played more minutes. To me, I worry. Now, LeBron is probably not going to take himself out of games. LeBron is going to show up every game to play because he's got a mission. He's got something to prove. But I think he looks fatigued to me. He looks tired to me.
I think the whole team looks tired, right, John? I mean, John, you see more than anybody. I think the whole team does look tired, right? They're all tired.
Yeah, it's not surprising because they only had that 71-day layoff. But I think the biggest thing ailing the Lakers is that when Anthony Davis, you said it earlier, Bill, when he's not in there, it affects everything else. He's their best defensive player. On certain nights, he's their best offensive player. And I think they're doing the right thing with Davis, playing it safe. But LeBron has never at any point of his career, whether it be Cleveland or Miami or with the Lakers, shown that he can't handle carrying the load that Jordan did and that Karl Malone did and that Mike and you know all the great players of their generation. They play all the games.
But he wins the MVP. He'll be the oldest player to ever win an MVP. Think about that. So nobody's done this. He's on uncharted territory here.
Yep.
And I think I'd rather err on the side of caution. And I don't believe me. The irony is not lost on me that here in this town of champions, we're arguing whether guys should not play and not play hard.
Right. Right.
I know it sounds crazy to make that argument. Except LeBron is such an exceptional athlete, and if you don't protect him from himself, I think it's just gonna hurt the team in the long run. I just don't want to. Again, we saw what happened with COVID. We saw it once. We've seen this movie before.
Yeah, Bill, I have a feeling, I don't know if you feel the same way, I have a feeling LeBron's not going to play every game. I know he has so far, but I have a feeling that at some point, and it might even be next week because he's got to go down to the All-Star game. By the way, Bill, do you think they should be playing the All-Star game?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
The best players in the league. I would defer to LeBron on that. LeBron says, no, I'm with him.
Yeah,
he knows best.
I think that like for people that read your column and Bill's columns up at latimes.com, my gut tells me that he probably won't play all 71 or 72 games, but maybe he will. I don't know.
I'm seeing, what is it? Is it Portland, Phoenix? Who else is coming up the next this weekend?
They have four games left. Portland Friday, Golden State Sunday, Phoenix Tuesday, and Sacramento Wednesday, and the second night of a back-to-back.
I see him maybe taking – I mean, I see him playing the next three games, 40-plus minutes a game on those games because he wants to win those games. I just think He needs it. Didn't LeBron used to say take vacations in Cleveland?
Yep.
Wasn't there like wink, wink, two-week vacations? Take a vacation. These games don't matter. Nobody cared that the Jazz blew them out. That was it's so funny. Everybody say, "Oh, the Jazz are going to be the NBA Finals." Give me a break. They didn't play the real Lakers. The Lakers would wipe them out in the playoffs. The Jazz haven't been there before. The Jazz haven't been past. They haven't been past the first round in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So that game was a farce, and all the games right now don't matter. They're going to make the playoffs. The seeding doesn't matter. In fact, it's probably better for them to start or to be on the road in the playoffs because the Staples Center is so damn quiet and forlorn and lonely that it's hard for them to get any energy.
Well, I think that's going to change, Bill. Don't you think by the playoffs that's going to change? I think there will be people in Staples Center by the time we get to the playoffs.
I think family and friends. You think anybody around family and friends? They're not going to – it's going to be Dodger Stadium first. They're not going to make a move. They're not going to let people sit indoors until they let people sit outdoors. So I think everybody's watching to see what happens with the Dodgers. But I was told that when they started, it'll be family and friends only, and then maybe grow from there. But maybe by July there'll be people in the stands. But if there's not, home court doesn't matter.
Okay, Bill, keep writing columns that match my views, okay?
Stop that, Bill. That's it's not good for your health.
I knew that's why you had me on the show, and I knew that's why you complimented me, Mason. So I'll continue to do so, my friend. Thank you very much.
Get Bill on. All right, thanks, Bill. Appreciate
it, man.
Bill. All right, coming up next for you, 877-710-ESPN. Do you agree with John that everything's fine, that all is well?
Remain calm.
Or do you agree with me that this looks like a tired
team?
The sky is falling. The team's not bringing defensive intensity, and this three-point shooting is a disaster right now. 877-710-ESPN. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. Hey, what's going
on? 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Mace, I got some breaking news.
Oh, breaking news. All right. Hang on a second. Let me get the breaking news thing I'm supposed to read. Breaking news on 710 ESPN is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons. John, what is the breaking news?
Very important. Are you sitting down?
Okay, I'm going to sit right now.
Okay. Hasbro, in the wake of Lindsay's story that they are changing the Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head to just Potato Head, Hasbro has just tweeted this. Hold that tot. Your main spud, Mr. Potato Head, isn't going anywhere. While it was announced today that the Potato Head brand name and logo are dropping the Mr., I am proud to confirm that Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head aren't going anywhere and will remain Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head.
Excellent.
Apparently, they got so much blowback from trying to make the Potato Head gender neutral that they bagged it and reversed course. And now they're back to being Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head.
Very nice. I think we were part of that social movement that brought back the Mr. and the Mrs.
Completely
to the
agree.
Potato Head toy.
You had to be. You guys were both in favor of them keeping Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. So
exactly.
Guess you guys have more clout than we like to admit.
Yep, absolutely right. So last night's Lakers game is interesting. The other thing we brought up earlier is this idea that Kyrie threw out there that the NBA should change its logo to Kobe Bryant's silhouette, which I think is an interesting idea. We talked about it earlier, 877-710-ESPN. I understand it, and I think it would make a lot of sense. I think it would be a great concept, John, and I think you're with me on that, right?
I am. I think we would get blowback from people in Chicago who would suggest Michael Jordan, although it'd be complicated because Nike owns the Jumpman logo. or Boston for people that would suggest Bill Russell. I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar could have an argument to be the logo.
Oh, yeah.
But all those people are still alive. This would be a way of honoring Kobe Bryant, who died prematurely. As a matter of fact, when Kyrie suggested it, Vanessa Bryant jumped in to his Instagram post and announced that she thought it was a great idea. So the family would support it. And Jorge, I don't know if you still have it, but I pulled a soundbite from Jerry West 3 years ago when Rachel Nichols asked Jerry about being the logo. And Jerry doesn't want to be the logo, at least not anymore. Here's what he said.
If they ever did an updated logo, there's someone in particular who should be on it?
You know, first of all, I wish that had never gotten out that logo. I do.
Really. Why? It's the best nickname ever,
really,
by
do.
The way.
And I've said it more than once. And, you know, it's flattering if that's me. And I know it is me.
Yes.
But it is flattering. And but to me, as I say, I played in the time when they first started to try to market the league. There were five people that they were going to consider. And I didn't find out about it until, well, the late commissioner told me about it, Walter Kennedy. And then, obviously, the New York Times had a big article about it. But, again, it's flattering, but it's also, I think, if I were the NBA, I would be embarrassed about it. I really would.
Why?
Because, I don't know. I just, as I say, I don't like to do anything to call attention to myself. When people say that, and when people say that, that's just not who I am, period.
Wow.
And if they would want to change it, I wish they would. In many ways, I wish they would.
Really?
Yes.
You'd like to see them change it?
I would,
And
yes.
Do you have a pick for who you would like to replace?
I would be, I would be biased. I'm not going
to
say.
You're allowed to be biased. He's
maybe
right
here. Maybe they could put their commissioner on there.
Oh.
Okay. Adam Silver would look great.
How did we not think of that one? How did we not think of that?
So
Adam Silver as part of the new logo.
Jerry West doesn't want to be the logo anymore. And
no.
And I, you know, Jerry West is the one who discovered, for lack of a better word, Kobe Bryant. He maneuvered behind the scenes to make sure that the Lakers got Kobe Bryant from Charlotte, cut a draft day deal, traded Vlade Divac, his starting center, to make sure Kobe ended up in a Laker uniform. It would be, for lack of a better term, Mace, a nice handoff from Jerry to Kobe, because Jerry was such an important part of Kobe's legacy. So I would have zero problem if they made Kobe the NBA logo. And I know this, that Bulls fans and Celtics fans and Spurs fans, everybody, you can make it a legitimate argument for a bunch of other people. But the people you're arguing for are still with us, and this would be a great way to honor a guy whose life was cut short.
Yeah, completely agree. Completely agree. All right, 877-710-ESPN. Coming up next for you, what Clayton Kershaw said about Trevor Bauer yesterday that I guess I really didn't know. It's coming up for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, what is going on? Here's the deal. On Sunday, I want to play this again because I think it's fascinating. We never get real evidence of UFOs, of unidentified flying objects, of paranormal activity like this. But Sunday, an American Airlines pilot, and we've got a recording of this, said this while he was over the state of New Mexico, the corner of New Mexico.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing, moving really fast. It went right over the top of us.
Right over the top of the plane. Now, American Airlines, John, has been asked about this. And when asked about this, they say simply, talk
we
to
know
the FBI.
Nothing.
Talk to the FBI. So this is a serious event. And it's happening more and more. There was one big one in Hawaii. There was another big one in North Carolina. It's happening more and more. And I've said this, and I really do believe it. This could be the year that we get definitive proof that there is life elsewhere.
I think that I've always believed that.
Yes.
And so for me, it's just more evidence.
More evidence for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to, you know, convince me of that, but I'm a conspiracy theorist. I used to listen to Art Bell. Didn't you get to fill in for Art Bell once?
I filled in for Art Bell, yeah. That was so weird. It was such a weird gig. I did it for a week, and it was fascinating.
And you have to, if you agree to fill in on that show, you have to kind of buy the premise, right?
That's the rule. When Art Bell was live, that was the rule. I think George Norrie is still doing that show somewhere. But the idea was they give you a guest with a crazy, outlandish idea. And I remember one of the nights very clearly. It was that there are lizard people inside the earth. And they come out and they become politicians. And so the rule was, and I talked to this guy for 2 friggin' hours. The rule is you have to accept every premise. It's a little bit like improv comedy. You must accept the premise. You must believe that this guy is telling the truth, even though he's probably wackadoodle. So I did 2 hours on how there are lizard people living inside the earth, and they wind up becoming politicians, and it's a secret race of people, and I bought the entire thing and did 2 hours on it.
You know, that explains a lot of what happened in politics this year in Washington.
They're lizards.
They are lizard people.
So Dodger spring training going on at Camelback Ranch. Everybody has reported now. And Clayton Kershaw did a piece with Sportsnet LA last night. Here's what he said about Trevor Bauer and David Price and what they bring to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good. I mean, first and foremost, you know, the Dodgers have a ton of talent. And Trevor and David are no different. You know, obviously they both have won Cy Youngs, Trevor more recently, but... you know, they pitch really well. I've heard nothing but great things about David as far as what kind of a teammate he is and what kind of presence he brings into a clubhouse, which would be awesome. And then, you know, with Trevor, I think we have an opportunity to learn. You know, I think he's very scientific in what he does. He's very analytic in how he goes about things. And I'm not at all. So I think I can learn a lot from him, just like I have from Walker and different other guys on our staff. So it'll be great. And I'm excited to watch both those guys pitch this year.
See, I know Trevor Bauer is super active on Twitter, and we've talked about that. He's social media, kind of a troll, all that stuff. But I didn't realize he was so into analytics. And once I heard that, I looked it up. He's really into analytics.
This is what you got to do, Mace. And if you're a Dodger fan, you got to do. I'm sure it's on YouTube. And if it's not, you can probably find it on HBO Max. Find the Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel segment on Trevor Bauer.
Oh.
Okay. It explains. Yep. Everything. He has his own he trains with this giant bar that looks like a pole vault stick, and he takes it everywhere he goes, and he throws it, and he's got these machines that calculate arm angle and spin rate and how often you should throw. He might be the, you said you didn't know he's into analytics, he might be the most analytical pitcher in baseball history. I mean, he knows like how tall the mound is and how it affects where he's throwing the ball.
I got to find that episode of Real Sports.
And I think it was Bernard Goldberg who was the reporter, and he said, now, come on, man. This stuff can't all make that much of a difference, and he fully believes that it does. He's the most analytical baseball player maybe ever.
Wow. And it's episode 275. So I will go back and find
that. You just Googled that? It came up?
Yep, came right up. Now, here's Kersh on how he's approaching his, I lost this, how many seasons is this for Kershaw? His 14th season. How is he approaching his 14th season?
No, I don't think I approach it any differently, but I think the mindset for it may be a little different just as far as, you know, the reason for getting going again. You know, I think in years past it's been that we failed and we haven't succeeded, and I haven't succeeded, and I just have to get going again so I can get another chance to do that. And now that we have done it, I think it's more of like, well, we don't want to squander such an unbelievable opportunity with the team that we've been presented with. And so... I'm excited about that. You know, we have another chance to win a World Series, and there's not many teams that can say that. So I'm pretty fired up to get going again this year, and we got a great chance.
2019, the last full season, he was 16-5 with a 3.03 ERA. In 2020, which was the short season, 6-2 with a 2.16 ERA, and he was 2-0 in the World Series with a 2.31 ERA. It's fair to say that the monkey is completely off of his back.
Yeah, and that may, you know, give him kind of the peace of mind he needs to extend his career. Now that he doesn't have that giant shadow over him, who knows what he's capable of? He might be one of those guys that pitches, you know, like Greg Maddux did, well into his late 30s.
Hey, I think the UFO made a sighting at Dodger Camp because it sure sounded like it at the end of that video.
There was sort of a weird bleeping, almost like somebody was playing a video game.
It was like, whirl, whirl. I don't know what that was. Must have been the UFO. No,
very weird. So both Kershaw and David Price are on expiring contracts, John, and Trevor Bauer can opt in for 2022. They got Walker Buehler, Julio Urias,
well, you know where that money's going.
Tony Gonsolin. Where?
When they come off the books.
Yeah.
Kershaw has said that he might like to stay. So they may cut another deal with Kershaw. I'd be surprised. Well, I guess it depends on how he pitches this year. But all that money's going to Corey Seager. They still haven't signed Corey Seager.
Yeah, that's a huge factor during this coming off season.
And Bellinger, they got another year, right?
Yeah, one more year on Bellinger. Okay. Here's the question. How important is it for Andrew Friedman to make Clayton Kershaw a Dodger for life? He's certainly been the face of the front. None.
Not important.
Wow.
Here's why. Clayton Kershaw is going to the Hall of Fame as a Dodger. He's been one of the greatest Dodger pitchers of all time. He's been paid handsomely for everything he's done for the Dodgers. And most importantly, Mace, he won his World Series with the Dodgers. And as you pointed out a minute ago, he was one of the key reasons why. It's the equivalent of LeBron leaving Cleveland. He's done everything he could possibly do. And I don't think Dodger fans would think any less of him or any less of Andrew Friedman if they let Clayton go back to Texas where he's from, pitch for the Rangers, and retire that way. But he indicated that he may want to stick around and pitch more for the Dodgers. But I don't think Dodger fans – there's no unfinished business is an easier way to put that.
Right, but on an emotional level, this is where Dodger fans can be. On an emotional level, when somebody comes up in an organization and succeeds the way Kershaw has succeeded, there is this sense that I would like to see my guy – stay a Dodger.
Yeah, Steve Garvey finished his career with the Padres. Davey Loeb finished his career with the A's. Ron Stave finished his career with the Cubs.
I asked the question rhetorically only because I think Andrew Friedman would cut his mother if he thought
he's got an easy
it would get him a World Series. I mean, cut her from the roster.
Yeah, he's got an easy out to do it here. Both sides have been. They've got their happy ending. I mean, Mace, think of all the great – pick any great baseball player ever. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron. The best example of this is Steve Carlton, one of the best pitchers of all time. They bounce around at the end of their – Greg Maddux pitched for like four teams in the last 4 years of his career, including the Dodgers. Guys at the end of their career in baseball bounce around and grab checks. Frank Thomas, I think, finished his last season with the A's. Remember Willie Mays playing for the New York Mets?
Oh, sure.
You know, it happens in baseball all the time. Reggie Jackson came out and played for the Angels.
Right.
Albert Pujols is not going to be remembered as an Angel. He's going to be remembered as a Cardinal. Clayton Kershaw is going to be...
There's still something, like take Kobe Bryant. There's still something magical about a guy starting and finishing his career with one organization.
Nope.
It happened with the idea of Derek Jeter in another uniform. The idea
Kobe's
going to
be
Puckett.
The last guy that we remember that does that start to finish. Kobe.
You
and
think
Dirk.
That's the last guy?
Kobe and Dirk. Yeah. Well, look, who's the best player in the league right now?
LeBron.
Third team.
Don't you think Giannis is going to start and finish career in Milwaukee?
I don't think any player that's playing in the NBA is going to be Shaq, one of the greatest players of all time.
Bounced
five
around.
Teams.
Yeah.
Michael
but you don't,
Jordan.
You don't agree there's something magical about a guy that does that.
I do.
About a guy that starts and finishes with his own team.
I think if you pull it off, it's really cool. Kobe pulled it off. Dirk pulled it off. But I don't think by any means it's up to the team or the player to make sure that happens. I think at each team, you're fine to do what's best for the team. Kobe's legacy was set forever. So is Shaq's, by the way. Shaq will be remembered as one of the great Lakers of all time. Played for four teams after he played for us.
Right. Won the championship the year after he left.
Yeah, but people look at Shaq as a Laker.
Oh, of course. Of course. All right. Coming up next for you. Game of games. It is Lindsay's game today. We're calling February over, despite the fact it is not over. I've got staggering statistics on John in Game of Games. And, of course, there's the full investigation of Michael Thompson's Game of Games scandal coming up tomorrow here on the show. Mason, Ireland, 7:10 a.m.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
ESPN. Game of Games is brought to you by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It is in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. Here are some staggering numbers.
Okay, but Mace, let's get to the game quick because we only have about 8 minutes.
Okay. Ireland has won 6 months in a row. He has won 7 times overall. Lindsay has won twice. I've never won. Jorge has never won. We're starting a new month. We're starting March. And Lindsay, what's the game?
All right, guys. Today, the game is Name Three Things.
I love this game.
It's a good game.
Yes. In this game, you will each player take a turn in the hot seat and answer a question such as name three things you can paint or name three yellow foods. Then you have 5 seconds to think of three answers and say them out loud before the buzzer.
Okay.
All right. First one, we will go with Mason. You could start first, okay?
Okay.
All right. Name three alcoholic beverages.
Tequila, bourbon, gin.
All right. That was an easy one. 1 point for Mason. We'll get harder as we go along.
Yes.
Number two. This one goes to Ireland. Name three types of flowers.
Dandelion, roses, germaniums.
All right. And Ireland's on the
board. I would like to question. He said germanians.
Germaniums.
He said they're geraniums, but
it's geraniums. I think you said Germanians, which would be people that live in Germany.
I think we should let it slide.
Okay, we'll
let it slide.
All right, number three, Jorge. Here's your question: name three blonde actresses.
Cameron Diaz.
right. Oh, come on, man!
That's tough.
No point for Jorge.
Yeah, that's tough.
It is a tough one. All right, they're going to get a little bit harder from here on out. All right, name three.
Who's this for?
This is for
Mason.
Me.
Okay. Sorry. Name three types of underwear.
Boxers, briefs, and...
Nope, didn't get the third one.
What is the third one?
A thong.
There's plenty. There's thong.
Thong, yeah. I was thinking about guy underwear.
Well, guys wear thongs, I think, right?
You know, I generally only think of guy underwear.
All right. So Mason won, Ireland won, Jorge nothing yet. And this is the second question for Ireland. Name three things you cannot buy with money.
Things you cannot buy with money. Water, sand, air.
Oh, there you go. I think that was in time. What do you guys think?
You think that was in time?
It was on the buzzer. It was good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it was fine.
Ball was in the air. Yeah.
Ball was in the air. Okay.
All right. Jorge.
That was a tough one.
Yeah. They're getting a little harder. Name three things you do in a park.
Walk, play, and eat.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Excellent.
Nice and simple. Good job. All right. And the next one is Mace, right?
Yep, me.
All right. Mason won, Ireland two, Jorge one. Mason, name three types of birds.
Swallow, pigeon, ostrich.
Oh, good job.
Very good. That's a nice
Those are like the
ostrich.
Hardest ones. Yeah, those are like hard. I would think like, you know, seagull and pigeon, I guess.
Hawk,
yeah.
Eagle.
All right, so Mace, you and Ireland are tied right now, but he has a chance to take a lead here. Okay, John, name three actors with mustaches.
Tom Selleck, Robert De Niro, Ben Stiller.
Does Ben Stiller have a mustache?
I just watched Happy Gilmore last night, and he has a mustache.
He does have a mustache in Happy Gilmore, yeah. We'll give
he
John credit.
He does in
credit.
That movie, okay. What about De Niro, though? Does he wear a mustache?
I just watched that really bad Rocky and Bullwinkle movie, and he has a mustache.
He did have a mustache. Oh, okay. That's true. That's right, a tough one. I can't think of who actually wears a mustache all the time except for Tom Selleck.
Yeah, that's literally the only person I could think of was Tom Selleck. I guess he's known for that. All right, next one, Jorge. Name three things that can fly.
Airplanes, birds, kites.
Oh, good.
Good on the kite. Kites.
Yeah,
I like
nice
that.
Poll. Nice poll. All right. So Ireland three, Mason and Jorge each have two. So let's do, let's see if this round, if John misses this one, we'll keep going. How about that?
Okay.
All right.
So Mason. Am I going now? Okay. No, I got you.
I'll have Mason and then Jorge. Okay. Mace. Okay. Name three Ivy League universities.
Yale, Harvard, Penn.
Oh, that was way easier
Very
than
easy.
I thought it would be. Forgot
almost
that you guys are
almost
smart
went to
here.
Yale.
But you couldn't get in, right?
No, he did get
not,
in.
I was
you couldn't afford it.
Yale. afford it.
All right, next one goes to Jorge. Name three objects you find in a kitchen.
Spoon, knife, and whisk.
Oh, good.
Whisk?
Wait, how about a fork?
I know. Oh, that's yeah. fork.
No, man. It was so much easier than a whisk.
Where the hell that come from?
I used one last night, okay?
All right, so everybody is all tied up right now. So, Ireland, I think since each of them have missed one, I think if you get this one, I think we'll give you the win. Do you guys agree?
Let me try.
Yep, agreed.
Let me see if I can get it.
All right. Name three U.S. vice presidents.
Al Gore, Spiro Agnew, Dan Quayle.
Yep, he won.
You got it. Yeah.
Good one. Good one.
I guess
one.
I need to come up with harder name three questions. I feel like they're too easy.
Well, no, but 5 seconds is pretty fast. Like, it's, I don't know what a fourth one would have been. I guess John Adams would have been my fourth one. But there are, it's not as easy as we made it look.
Yeah, no,
you guys
we
did really,
really
good this
today.
Time.
Yeah,
yeah
we really
you,
nailed
you
it. Yeah,
you did. Good job.
All right, there you have your game of games. Ireland already off to a good start in the month of March. Almost certain to win it. Tomorrow on the show, we've got the cheating scandal. You know, it's a little bit like that whole Massimo, Becky from Full House thing where they were trying to get their kids into school and pretended to be on the rowing
team
and
all that
stuff.
Well, here's the problem. Michael is both initially on the air and then last night on Twitter saying he didn't cheat.
Oh,
but
really?
We've got him. I mean, we've got photographic evidence that is indisputable. So if he's willing to take his medicine, if he's willing to admit his mistake, you know, like if you think of the baseball steroid scandal, Mace, the guys who admitted it, Andy Pettit, Jason Giambi, those dudes came out of it okay. It's the guys who lied, Rafael Palmeiro, Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire, it stuck to them because they wouldn't give up the lie. I think if Michael admits his wrongdoing, we can reinstate him into the fold. But if he clings to the lie, we are going to A-Rod him.
We'll cancel him. He's going to be canceled.
Yeah, he becomes the Houston Astros if he tries to deny this.
The best was a tweet from somebody that said, Michael, you were my radio idol. I wanted to grow up and be just like you when I retire. Watching wrestling and drinking wine all day, but that world came tumbling down for me when you got caught cheating. Say it ain't so, Michael. Say it ain't so.
That is so sad.
Yeah, now it is. Michael
will never hear the end of this ever.
No. I think I'm willing to completely forgive and forget if he owns up to it. Mace, aren't you?
You will have to take this incident out of my cold, dead hands. I will remember this forever. Forever.
Like, I'm convinced Sliwa, we know he cheated in the birthday game, and I'm convinced he cheated in the hot dog contest. And the fact he'll never admit it always sticks with him. Now we know he's a cheat. But Michael, you know, he could just say, look, I'm a professional athlete. I got caught up in how competitive it is. Yep. And I had a lapse where I couldn't think of any canals, so I typed in canals.
Well, we will see where it lands tomorrow. We will have that. We will have some mean tweets. We will get you ready for Lakers versus Portland. All that stuff coming up for you tomorrow. Coming up next for you is Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Thanks a lot for listening. Mason and Ireland in the books today. This is 710 ESPN.